All right.
You have a unique perspective on this. When the offense is playing well and the defense is not, or vice versa, and teams go through this all the time,
yeah.
And players always say the right thing about, you know, we're all in this together and it's a team game. But at some point, there's got to be some strain and some stress, I would think. What's your experience with that?
You know, I think the strain and the stress really come from the guys on that particular side of the ball that aren't doing well. I really have never seen it here, especially with this group, since Coach Gase has been here, with the other side putting the pressure on the other. I mean, listen, the leaders of the team on the sideline are going to be vocal, and they're going to, you know, try to motivate in one way or the other. But the stress and strain that I see, I think sometimes guys are getting a little too, you know, for example, if the defense is struggling or the offense is struggling, guys on that particular side of the ball maybe putting too much pressure on themselves and trying to press a little bit. I think this team has been pretty good about that. I mean, as you know, since Adam has gotten here, and we've talked about that, we've won games in varieties of different ways. We've won games on offense, defense, special teams, and although this year I know kind of the narrative has been, you know, the other way with defense and offense. I haven't seen that in the building. Guys like Cam Wake or Rashad Jones or Sue, the guys that are veterans, the guys that have been around, I've seen them, you know, step up and either tell the defense, hey, we got to get it done today, and be more encouraging and motivating to the offense. I see the offensive guys being the guys maybe being a little bit too hard on themselves that way, and maybe pressing a little bit. But, you know, other than that, I mean, again, I know Adam's kind of addressed that with the offensive stuff, so I'll let him do that. But I think our guys have handled it pretty maturely, whether it's whichever way, and it's been both. You know, it depends, like you said, it's always been sometimes it'll swing the other way, where now the offense is carrying the team, the defense, you know, could be struggling at points. So I think our guys have really handled that part well.
Darren, do you have any responsibilities as associate head coach in terms of bringing Googs up to speed? Do you have any role in that? And how difficult is it for a coach to come in the middle of the season and learn personnel?
Yeah, well, obviously I know Googs, you know, from the last time. I've actually known Googs a long time. We played against each other in college, believe it or not, way back when, dating myself to the Rhode Island Boston University days, back to 1990. So that's almost too long ago. But, no, I've known Googs a long time, really respect him as a person. My help to Googs has been just kind of getting acclimated. He hasn't been here, obviously, in 6 years, and a lot of new faces and getting him caught up to speed. I think Googs is a guy that's been with a lot of great organizations. He's been to Super Bowl a couple times. He's got a very strong personality. And so I think in light of the situation, he's a very good guy to come in here and step in. And he's kind of seen a lot of different things. And so I think it takes a strong personality guy to do that, and he's just that. So really my role with him, Barry, has been more of just helping him get acclimated, not the X's and O's part of it.
Riz, this is your ninth season?
It is,
right?
Yeah.
You've seen some stuff. I mean, there's some controversy been around this team over the last decade. How do you focus? How do you compartmentalize? How do you channel that into not laying an egg on something?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've always been a believer that distractions are what you make of them. Distractions are distractions if you let them be distractions. You know, and in today's society, there's so many distractions, you know, with all the different things that can be going on between social media and everything else. And I think, you know, it's personal choices that we make every day. And as a group, I think Adam's done a great job with this team, you know, since day one is, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to let the distractions deter us and take us off the rail? Or are we going to circle the wagons kind of thing? And I think we've done a pretty good job of eliminating distractions. They're going to be there. Listen, there's going to be distractions every day. It's to me, it's like I said, it's almost a personal choice. You know, I know you guys don't want to hear this because of your professions, but you know, are you going to read the media? Are you going to log on and read all the articles? Are you going to follow everything on social media? At some point, are you going to just focus in on what this is our job? You know, I get paid to coach football. These players get paid to play football, and we got at some point you got to, you know, lock in on what your responsibilities are. And so, I know it's easier said than done. Personally speaking, I stay off the internet stuff, and I don't even have so I couldn't even tell you how to get on Insta chat or whatever the heck they're called. I mean, I have no idea what, you know. So I don't even, you know. Yeah. So trust me, my children are the ones that they keep me up to speed on the social media. So again, I think it all depends on your, you know. So like I said before, it's just, you know, what do you let the distractions deter you from what you're doing? Listen, it's easy to make excuses. This team has had plenty of distractions this year between the hurricane and the, you know, moving the game to bye week and the West Coast travel, London. You can make a million excuses if you want, or you can kind of bind together, circle the wagons. And I think this team's done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah. My kids speak ill of predecessors, yeah. But 2013, things didn't go
Yeah, there's not that many people that are still around, let's be honest. I mean, there's only you know, a select few of us, I would say. But, you know, in that instance, I would say, again, it all goes back to, I think, an individual and collective basis on what do you let the distractions? Do you let it seep in and become a cancer, or do you let, like I said, do you kind of bond together and circle the wagons and keep those things outside? And, again, you can, you know, the world's a funny place. You can justify anything. You can justify reasons why you win, reasons why you lose, reasons why you succeed, don't succeed. Again, in my opinion, we can't use built-in excuses, and I think Adam's done a great job of that with our team. Maybe in things in the past, maybe we haven't handled them as well. I think this group right now, the building between all the leadership we have from Steve Ross right on down through Adam and the coaching staff, I think we've done a much better job of handling these situations. We hit a fat ball when you play golf. Yeah, that's what he did. He got some grass. It was a little soft down there on that end of the field, and he chunked it. He got some grass, and that's a ball that I've never seen him hit that ball that far to the right before. It was just one of those things. If you saw when he hit the ball, he looked right down. He, you know, a big chunk of grass came out of the turf, and so, you know, that's what he had on that particular kick. Yeah, you know what? He's actually trying to stay down on it, threw it a little bit, and try to stay down a little bit too much, you know. So it is what it is. I haven't seen one of those in, you know, a great practice session yesterday. So, I mean, you guys may or not be aware of this. I was actually looking through the stats. I get the weekly stats throughout the league right now. You guys would probably be surprised. There's only three teams in the league that haven't missed either a PAT or a field goal. There's only three guys right now in the league that are perfect. I think Dan Bailey, team we're playing this week, Matt Bryan, and I think the young kid from Oakland are the only kids that have not missed either a PAT or a field goal. So, you know, hey, moving that PAT line back is, as I've told you guys before, I kind of treat every kick like it's a field goal now. It's what it is. It's a 33-yard field goal. And it just only counts for one instead of three. But, you know, he's obviously got to be better. I'm not really overly concerned about it, though. He just happened to get some grass on that one.
Riz, what did you see from
You know what, like any rookie, you know, I think in the first couple games, he was just a little bit inconsistent because I think sometimes he was pressing. I think he was much more relaxed, you know, whether you want to call it being home this week or whatever. But, he kind of got in his own, and he really showed what we've been seeing since the day he got here. And once he was locked in, and it was really last week a big part of our game plan because of Dory Jackson, the returner for Tennessee, had been having a really good year, and we wanted to keep the ball out of his hands. And he was a game changer, bottom line. I mean, he was our special teams player of the week in-house, and he really changed the game, in my opinion. But that he really, you know, showed you what he's capable of doing. High hang time, good direction, keeping the ball away from the returner, letting our coverage get down there and do their work. And so I was very, very impressed with him. But it's not like I was surprised because I've seen him do that in practice.
How do you decide who handles punts,
who returns punts? So it's weekly. It's really a decision made rep by rep. So we'll go into a game sometimes, Perk would say, okay, if we have this particular call, Jakeem's going to take this one or Jarvis is going to take this one. A lot of time it's game, how the game is going, how much, you know, where we are within the game in terms of situation, where we are in the field. So a lot of it, you know, like last week, I think we were almost, if I'm not mistaken, close to 50-50 on who took what. And both guys, you know, have done well. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. You guys know how I feel. We have two very good guys. I'm fortunate to have two guys put back there, two great options. And you know, obviously you get a guy like Jarvis, you know, if he can get the ball in his hand a couple times a game, we know what Jakeem can do with the ball in his hand. I think it also keeps our opponent off balance. I think one thing that gets underlooked a little bit, them not knowing which guy's back there, because they're two totally different style guys. And how you're going to play those guys and try to keep them off balance on their heels a little bit too is something that's a little bit underrated when we're making those decisions too.
In my opinion, Drake hasn't gotten many touches from scrimmage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, we're trying, you know, again, we got two guys back there and sometimes just game plan wise or where they kick the ball or the wind or whatever, it just early on, he got the first few. If you remember back to the Chargers game, Jakeem didn't have any for a little bit. And then all of a sudden everyone was asking, hey, when's Jakeem going to get some? And just the way it's balanced out, I think usually it'll end up balancing itself out at the end of the day. But yeah, no, you know, obviously Drake is a guy who would like to get the ball in his hands and we know what he's done in the past as well. You know,
I know you have history with Parkey that goes way back. Mm-hmm. This is the first time you've really been able to get hands-on coaching.
Yeah.
You've had about a month. What have you observed about him?
I really didn't know him as well as a person. I knew him more of as a kicker. I really respect him starting to really respect him as a person, just his approach. He's got a very, very professional approach to him. It's almost like he's a guy that you would think has been kicking in the league for longer than he has. Really, really positive professional approach as a kicker. He's really done exactly what I've seen on film and, through college and his short NFL career. He's just been a consistent guy. I know everybody will point at he missed a couple extra points. I get it, and he's got to clean those up. But he's been pretty consistent throughout watching him, his warm-ups, his practice routine, his game routine. So I'm been pretty much what I expected. I just didn't know him as well as a person. I'm not gonna get great detail about Armando, but I was when I first saw the information come out, I was surprised. Yeah, unexpected. Obviously, an extremely unfortunate situation. I'm not gonna get into great detail about it, but I was surprised. Yeah.
It was a big extra point that he missed.
Yeah.
Obviously, at that point in the game, and it missed very badly. So when he comes off after that, what's his demeanor like, or how steady is he?
I've seen it. Like I said, that's part of his approach. Even even when he misses a kick in practice, he's not overly down on himself. He's a very good self-correct guy. I've had kickers in the past that have missed kicks and come off and said, I have no idea what happened there. He's immediately able to regurgitate and tell you exactly, my plant foot, my whatever it is, I slid, or I hit too high on the ball, or I wrap. There's a bunch of different kicker lingo, if you will. But he's a pretty self-correct guy. He can kind of coach himself. He never gets too high, too low. Really, it's what I like about all three of our specialists. John Denny, Matt Hawk, Cody Parkey, they all have very, very good personalities. They're very, very level people. They're not never too high, never too low, which is very good at that position. He's never too down on himself. Obviously, he was disappointed. We all wanted to make it. Listen, every extra point is big and every field goal is big, and we know points that are a premium in this league. So, obviously, we're looking to make every single one of those, as the Captain Obvious statement of the week. But he's able to self-correct. And he doesn't really get too down on himself. So that part has been good.
Are you aware that one of the CBS announcers said during the Titans game that the networks need to have a RISI cam?
I don't know why. I can't understand why. I mean, just level-headed guy that once in a while gets a little bit passionate about a call or two, I someone did tell me that. Hell yeah, they did. I was informed that there was a RISI cam quote in there somewhere. So, but yeah, I've been good. I've been really good. I've been calm.
Yesterday, Adam said he, Jarvis, and Ajay were the hotheads of the offense. Are you the hothead of special teams?
No, those guys are crazy. I'm calm. Those guys are. I can't understand why anybody would get that excited. I mean, those guys are. No, I think that play in particular was, I thought it should have been a roughing. And in fact, in the referee's defense, he came back later on and said, I think I missed that one, which I respected and appreciated. But, I thought that should have been a 15 out of 5, which at that point in the game was a huge deal because that gives us a first down. We keep the ball with 5:15. Instead of just being a tack on, it's an automatic first down. Who knows? We might not have given the ball back up, and that could have changed the entire game. So that's why I was a shade bit upset. I was just a little bit emotional. So
it's an automatic that it's roughing if they hit the plant, right?
Yeah. So pretty much, if you come into if his kicking leg's still on the ground, you come out and take out his plant leg. Usually, that's a 15 yard. Or if you make body contact, you run through him. Usually, if you hit the up leg, and you just hit the kicking foot, you run through that. Usually, that's the five variety. So I thought the player had come in and kind of taken out his plant leg, and that's why I thought it was a 15.